Hi. What I'd like to do today is it's kind of perfect weather for this story. It's a far off in the mountain story. Is my voice a good volume for you right now? It's okay. All right. You'll signal if some if not. In this, oh my. Kelly, could you write to Ellen Fox? Did you, was she one of the people that wrote you? She's not managing to get on.
She was, yeah. I'll take care of it.
Okay, thank you. Here comes the rain. I'd like to offer us a little bit of kind of refuge in the midst of everything this afternoon, and just muse over some questions that this koan brought up for me anyway, and we'll see whether they are ones that came up for you as well, and what other ones come up for you. This is a story that's not part of our regular koan curriculum. And it's one that has long fascinated me. So I'm just going to say the story, just say a few things about it, and then we'll drop it into our meditation. Okay? Not a surprising format. Here's the story. Yuan Kui subdues the mountain god. Master Yuan Kui of Mount Song used divination to choose a cottage in the valley, deep in the mountains, as a site to practice a life of seclusion, of reclusion. One day, a strange man appeared in the deep mountains, wearing formal attire and accompanied by a large retinue of attendants. He demanded to see the master. There she is. Yuan Kui, noticing that his visitor had a strange and unusual manner, greeted him. "Welcome, friend. Why have you come here?" The man answered, "Master, don't you recognize me?" The master replied, "I view Buddha and sentient beings equally. Why should I distinguish you from the rest of them?" The man declared, "I am the god of the mountain and can make people live or die. How can you regard me as just one more being?" The master said, "I am originally unborn. You claim to be able to make me die, but I see you beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood, and you see me beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood. Even if you can destroy emptiness and yourself, I will remain unborn and undying. So why should I accept your claim to control my living and dying?" The god bowed to the floor in reverence and said, "I am the most confident and upright of the gods, but I didn't realize that you possessed such eloquence and wisdom. Please grant the true precepts that will enable me to transcend the world? The master replied, when you ask about the precepts, you are already observing the precepts, because there are no precepts apart from seeking out the precepts. So I guess I just would like to share a few kind of field notes with you. And I bet different things will light up for you, but I'll give you a little bit of what came up for me. From the beginning of the story, you know, Master Yuan Kui used divination. And that might have been a little unusual for a branch of the practice. But you get a sense there, I got a sense there of how at a moment like this in my life, it feels right to put myself in the hands of what I don't understand, that could be more trustworthy than the rest of what I don't understand somehow to just go a little deeper to find what might be trustworthy, what might be helpful, what might support me. And so used divination, and then a cottage, yeah, in a valley deep in the mountains. And what came up for me immediately with that part was our koan, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your robes at the sound of the temple bell? There he is, really seeking out a reclusive, kind of protected from the world place. But the koan goes on to say that the voice of the cuckoo is calling you home, right? Even in jumbled mountains, you can hear its voice. And so here, if I can listen to this. I hope you can hear it. It's soft. Could you hear that?
Yes.
And this cuckoo has, so there's something about that call just echoing softly through the woods, you know, penetrating the deep woods of our desire to be reclusive. And, it's not exactly what it feels like when we see or hear the news, you know, the cuckoo that in that video had a very elegant striped vest, and its call, you know, was kind of like that of a cuckoo clock, but so gentle and persistent, right? And in this case of our koan, the world seems to come and fetch him as it does us. Yeah, just when we're settling down to, you know, be apart from everything, and maybe do our meditation and look very deeply, you know. And but in this case, this fellow appears wearing formal attire and accompanied by a large retinue of attendants. And you can kind of imagine poor Juan going, why did I come all the way into the middle of the mountains in this little secluded valley? And here comes the world, you know? but he notices that the visitor has a strange and unusual manner. And the way he greets him is just, welcome, friend. Why have you come here? Kind of asking the essential question, right? Why? What is it you're looking for? Why have you come here? Why have you appeared in this valley by my little cottage? Who is this coming to fetch me? Why? Why? And in response, the stranger doesn't answer that why question, but says, Master, don't you recognize me? The master replied, I view Buddha and sentient beings equally. Why should I distinguish you from the rest of them? And this connected for me very much with, you know, the things that appear that seem to really, really demand attention. But sometimes there is something that makes me wonder who's fetching me there. And so rather than just really rebuff, the master asks the question, right? Why should I distinguish you from the rest? The man declared, I'm the god of the mountain. I can make people live or die. How can you see me as just one more being? And to this kind of challenge, it feels to me as if Yuan Kui really answers the question, right? He takes it, what if this is a real question? You know, a real question. How is it that you can regard me as just one more being? And Yuan Kui responds, I'm originally unborn. You claim to be able to make me die, but I see you beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood. And this part just moves me because it seems like the mountain god is asking to be seen and Yuan Kui is saying, I see you as empty of selfhood and you see me beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood. Even if you can destroy emptiness and yourself, isn't that kind of a shocking thing for him to put in there? Even if you can destroy emptiness and yourself, I will remain unborn and undying. So why should I accept your claim to control my living and dying? And so maybe that's as far as I want to go. We'll come back to the rest. But there are these interesting questions. It's really an interplay of questions between them that becomes a more and more real exchange, I think. Why? Why have you come? Who's demanding? And oddly, as we get more into this later, I think we'll find that the mountain god, in a way, is answering the questions, just maybe not realizing that he is. You know, we can see that the shadow side of that power is no power. No power over the essential nature of things. Who are you? The god does not seem to know. What does that who are you part of us control and what not? Yeah. So we have a whole bank of questions in our koans that touch these matters. Who are you? Who are you before you wake up and put on your clothes? Who's listening to me? Who's that sitting on your cushion? What is it? Where did you come from? Where will you go when you die? And somehow you get the sense that Yuan Kuei's intimately familiar with these questions and seems to hear the questions that the mountain god is not knowing how to ask. And he follows Lin Ji's advice. Whatever appears, shine your light on it. By saying, actually, this is how it is for me. And then we get to see what is it the mountain god of us, really wants and what will help. So let's bring it into some meditation and see you can kind of forget the things that I've been saying and just see what arises for you. Thank you. Master Yuan Kui of Mount Sung used divination to choose a cottage in a valley deep in the mountains as a site to practice a life of reclusion. One day, a strange man appeared in the deep mountains wearing formal attire and accompanied by a large retinue of attendants. He demanded to see the master. Yuan Kui, noticing that his visitor had a strange and unusual manner, greeted him. "Welcome, friend. Why have you come here?" The man answered, "Master, don't you recognize me?" The master replied, "I view Buddha and sentient beings equally. Why should I distinguish you from the rest of them?" The man declared, "I am the god of the mountain and can make people live or die. How can you regard me as just one more being?" Master said, "I am originally unborn. You claim to be able to make me die. But I see you beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood. And you see me beyond any discrimination as empty of selfhood. Even if you can destroy emptiness and yourself, I will remain unborn and undying. So why should I accept your claim to control my living and dying?" The god bowed to the floor in reverence and said, I am the most confident and upright of the gods. But I didn't realize that you possessed such eloquence and wisdom. Please grant the true precepts that will enable me to transcend the world. The master replied, when you ask about the precepts, you are already observing the precepts, because there are no precepts apart from seeking out the precepts. What is it like sitting here in the moment before you have to remember your name? Resting right in this moment. Can I find any time when I was not here? And what are the precepts that don't have to be spoken?